through the hospital, it wasn't the doctors that really made the difference. It was the nurses, you know.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Dalton Heisey, a registered nurse. Dalton, welcome to episode 96 of the American Grown Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
To start off with a couple things, just so your older brother, John Heisey, He was here back in episode 5 of the podcast. So this goes back to 2022. That's how long it's been. And Heisey's own Heisey's Diner on 72 North.
Yep.
Your family. Yeah. Yep. So his episode actually has the most downloads currently. So maybe, I'm hoping, your episode can beat him out, because he's been holding that spot since 2022.
Yeah. I'm really hoping maybe I can beat him. We'll see.
Perfect. Perfect. So I wanted to start off, you and I share a love and a curiosity, let's say, for New Zealand. Mm-hmm. It's one of your travel destinations. We were talking off air that you're saving money to go and everything.
Yeah, so New Zealand has always been a travel place that I want to go to, mainly because I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, and it's just absolutely beautiful out there. So me and my wife actually decided that our 5-year anniversary of our wedding, we are going to go to New Zealand.
Okay.
So we've been putting money away slowly to be able to afford it, because it's a very expensive trip to get all the way over there.
Yeah. I was hoping all day that you would say, because when I saw this last night, I was putting together these questions, I was hoping you'd say Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
So which is your favorite episode? The Fellowship, Two Towers, Return of the King? You had to pick.
I really like Return of the King. I don't know, a lot of action in that one. But I really like The Hobbit too. Like,
okay.
Yeah, those movies, I really got into those ones too.
The Hobbit's good. The Hobbit's really good. That was actually one of the first, I know this sounds crazy, but like in middle school at Cedar Crest, that was kind of one of the first books I remember reading was The Lord of the Rings. I forget who told me about it, but yeah, I would love, that's one of the places my wife and I have always talked about going was New Zealand, because The Fellowship, The Two Towers, and Return of the King were all like pretty much shot on location.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just so beautiful. And if you're like a Lord of the Rings fan, a Hobbit fan, I feel like you have to go, you know?
Yeah.
Now, so 5-year wedding anniversary, how many years until that's up?
So we got married in December, so we're coming up on our first year.
First year, okay. Yeah. So you got time, save money, right? Because I think it's like an 18-hour flight or something crazy like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. I think they have direct flights from Dallas. So you got to get down to Dallas. And then, yeah, I think it's like 14, 18 hours. It's a long haul.
Now, when you go down, are you going to visit Hobbiton, I think it is?
I definitely plan on visiting some of the Lord of the Rings. My wife's not a huge fan of it, but we got to see some stuff while we're there.
You have to. Now, she's seen the movies, though, right?
She's seen the movies.
So she understands. I mean,
and I'm actually making her watch the new one on Amazon Prime, the show, too.
Yeah.
So she's been into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't start that yet. We got to get on that, Courtney, if you're listening. But so that's awesome. When you go, I will look for pictures online, maybe on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. You have to post something for sure. So Dalton, like, let's get your full story. What was your childhood like? Let's start from there. What was your childhood like?
Yeah. So I'm just gonna kind of go over general gifs of my story. So when I was born, I was actually born at Good Samaritan Hospital, the Dixon Foundation, and I was born with my organs outside of my body. It's called gastroschisis. They were able to put them all back. I got lifelined up to Hershey. They put everything back in my stomach. And then basically I was a healthy young boy until I was 6 years old. Had a very good childhood. My parents are great. We did a lot of traveling, a lot of family activities. And then when I was 6, I had a tummy ache one night. My parents, you know, didn't think nothing of it. They gave me some water, put me back to bed. And then I woke up with excruciating pain. So they took me up to the hospital, and I was found to have a volvulus. So what a volvulus is knotting in your intestine. So just an odd coincidence, something happened, and basically it cut off all circulation, and I am currently only left with about 18 inches of intestine, small and large. So ever since I was 6 years old, I haven't been able to really eat anything, and I get all my nutrition through an IV catheter. So the treatment options at that point was to go to and get a transplant. So my family went to Pittsburgh, UMPC. That was the biggest transplant place in the country at that time. They put me on the list, and a year later, I got a call, and we went down and I got a transplant. I was in surgery for about 18 hours. There's three different transplant doctors that worked on me. And then I was in the hospital for about a year after that, recovering different episodes. I would get discharged, you know, for a week and then be back. But basically, I lived in Pittsburgh for a year. First off, that was really hard on my parents. They have a business, Heisey's Diner, like you said. So they had to work. So I had one parent usually with me, either my mom or dad. And then they would swap and they would meet in the turnpike halfway, have lunch and dinner. And that's really all they saw of each other because they wanted to make sure somebody was with me. So I was very blessed to have that and have that support system, which I truly think kind of helped me get through everything. My brother also, I feel bad for him as well because he was left at home with sitters a lot of times because when my parents did go back home, they had to work. So it was a rough year to 2 years of that journey. Multiple surgeries, just a lot. So then eventually what happened was I went into severe rejection. I got lymphoma. It's a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which basically was taking over my body. So they had to take the intestine, the transplanted intestine, back out.
Oh.
So after that happened, they put me on chemotherapy. I did chemo for about 6 months to get rid of all the lymphoma. And then I also did experimental stem cell research up in New York. Actually, the stem cells. So what they did was they took my dad's stem cells, they grew them in a lab, and then they injected them into me to fight the lymphoma. And actually, since then, I've been cancer-free. That treatment actually worked.
That's great. Holy cow.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that was great. And then basically, since then, I've been living on a medication called TPN, which is basically everything that you need in a day, all your vitamins, your fats, your minerals, your fluids, I get through a catheter. I usually run it overnight. I hook up around 8 o'clock, and it takes 14 hours to go in. Wow. And that's an every night thing I have to do. It takes me about 15, 20 minutes to prepare the medication at night, so that's I mean, that can be difficult at some times, you know, kind of annoying. But that's kind of my life. And then during the day, I get IV fluids. So I wear my backpack as well sometimes during the day. Because basically if I drink, if I eat, which I can, it just doesn't really do anything for me. It kind of just runs out of me and kind of dehydrates me. So basically I don't need to eat or drink anything. When I do, it's more so for taste, you know, some ice cream, some pizza,
the good stuff,
yeah, the basically.
Good stuff. Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't sit around and eat no healthy stuff cause it just doesn't do anything for me because I have no absorption. So yeah, I've been dealing with that I've been on the medication for about 22 years. I was told by my doctors that I wouldn't live past, high school, 16, 18, and currently, you know, I'm 30, so I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, you're 30. That's awesome. Holy cow.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, you're a fighter to go through what you've been through. Wow. It's wild. So you don't remember, but so, okay, let's back up a little bit. Siblings, is it just you and John, your older brother? How many?
So it's me, John, my older brother, and then I do have a younger brother. And then my parents also adopted a boy and a girl. So I have a sister and a brother as well. So what is that? Five of us. And then I did have a younger brother that passed away when I was about five. He passed away from organ failure, kidney failure, actually. So that's the family.
Your mom and dad, did they ever talk about like what they went through, what they were experiencing when you were an infant, you know, and when you were first born? Did they ever share that with you?
They didn't really say much. I mean, my mom said that, you know, she wasn't able to hold me. She wasn't able to feed me. She wanted to breastfeed me, and she wasn't able to. I was kind of in a tube. And actually, I think the first person that held me was my grandma, Rachel Heisey, because she was there visiting, and the nurse came in and said, "Hey, you want to hold him?" And I think she was actually the first one that was able to hold me.
Your mom and dad, I mean, shout out to them, because the, you know, the sacrifice. And as parents, because, you know, you have a second on the way.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I, we have two under two. You do anything for your kids, you know. Oh, yeah. You do anything for your kids. Money-wise, you do anything for them, you know, to support them. They would go to Pittsburgh for a whole year. You were out there. Mm-hmm. And your mom would be with you, and then your dad would switch on and off. Can you tell a little bit about like what that was like from your perspective? Do you remember anything? I know you were really young back then.
Yeah, I remember a good amount. I mean, they rarely left me alone. And I was on a floor, and there was like six or eight of us, and we all knew each other because, you know, we were basically like living there, all the patients. And, you know, a lot of them didn't have family that would come in. And it's actually it's proven research now that if you have people that are there helping you and getting you through that you actually have higher chances of survival. So they actually, that's one of the considerations if you want a transplant now, is your family support. And they take that very
seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. Your family is really your first, like, they're your rock, you know? They're your everything. That's before you have your best friends or your wife or significant others. Like, your family's there for you, your siblings. And that's interesting that now there's studies that prove, like, hey, you need a strong support system. It helps your odds, right?
Yeah, it does.
So, Pittsburgh, everything goes well there, right? You were saying, but then you come home, right? And you were having pain. Is that how it was?
Yeah, I was having pain, excruciating pain, and then they found that I was having the lymphoma and the rejection, and they didn't want to take the organ out, but my parents basically told them to, because if they didn't, I would have died.
I was going to say, why wouldn't they want to take it out? Yeah, because it sounds like it had to come out, so they weren't going to do it?
So, not dissing on any doctors, but you have your success rates, you know. Hey, this is the percentages that, you know, your surgeries are working. And when an organ fails or an organ comes out, it's basically like a hit against a doctor. So they never really want to try to take the organ out, only on extreme circumstances.
So, okay. So the doctor, it would give that doctor like a black eye or a black mark.
Yeah.
Oh, but yet it had to come out, had to be done. So it's good that your parents voiced their opinions, right? So that it did get taken out. Then from there you go up to New York. Being in New York, what was that experience like with the stem cell from your father? You said they were growing it in a lab. And again, I know you just talked about it, but just trying to go more in depth, because I feel like a lot of people have no idea what this world is, and you've been living it since you were born.
Yeah. So I've been constantly in and out of the hospital. And going up to New York with an experimental treatment, that actually wasn't covered by insurance. So my parents took a financial hit doing that. We did a lot of fundraisers to try to get some money to be able to do the treatment, because it was all experimental. I mean, they were just great. My parents would do anything for me. The treatment, I mean, it was pretty simple when they actually did the treatment. However, it's just leading up to it, all the blood work, all the tests, everything that they had to do in order to do the treatment was pretty taxing.
When you went to New York, how old were you again around that time?
I would say I was about 8 when I was up in New York.
So still so young. Oh my God. Middle school, high school, were friends and classmates supportive? What? Because I know the reason I'm asking is guests come on and they'll share stories of how, you know, they were bullied or made fun of, or their friends and classmates were very supportive. Like, so how was, let's get on to, like, how was your education like? What was that like?
So when I was going through all my medical stuff, I was getting educated in the hospital. They have, like, teachers in the hospital that were educating me. But when I was in school, people knew I was sick, but they didn't really know what was going on. They didn't know the full gist of it. I was very reserved in school. Actually, all through high school, middle school, nobody really even knew I had medicine. Nobody knew I was sick. I actually would not wear my medication around my friends. And I actually, I remember distinctly in high school, I was still not wearing my medication, you know, not getting, you know, I'm kind of doing like a rebellious stage, mm-hmm. wasn't getting the amount that I should have been getting. And I got really sick. I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks with a really bad infection and some other things that were going on. And after that, I had to, you know, wear my medication. And my friends, actually, this is a really cool story. My friends, once they found out about this, they actually wore book bags out to get ice cream one night. So
to, like, support. Yeah. That's awesome, because you hear a lot about the bullying and everything, but to show, like, camaraderie and support for their good friend, like their best friend, probably in some cases. Wow.
Yeah, and that really meant a lot to me. And, yeah, helped me, you know that they're there for me.
Yeah, and they care, right? Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you have your family that's your rock and your support, but now it's growing, right? Now you have friends, that best friends even, that are, like, there for you. Now, you know, you have a wife that's, like, there for you, and it's a great feeling. And you know, you can't help but, I'm sure, get emotional, because it's like you've been through so much. And like I said, I growing up, you know, we both went to Cedar Crest. You were obviously a couple. I'm a little bit older. I'm be 33 in October. But, like, I never knew the extent. I never knew. Yeah. And like you said, I would never have no. I never even noticed, you know, any of it. So to me, you're just another kid, a normal kid, you know, mm-hmm. a normal human being. But and not that you're not. But I'm just saying, like, that's how you presented yourself. I never thought, like, oh, Dalton Heisey's, you know, has this condition or anything. It was always, oh, that's John's younger brother, you know? Yeah, yeah. So in high school, friends are supportive, friends are there, but yet the doctors were saying that you wouldn't live past high school graduation. Did they tell you that? And what went through your mind when they said that?
Yeah, so they told me that after the transplant, because the TPN, now science has gotten a lot better, but originally the TPN was toxic to your body. It's not something that you're supposed to be on long term. So they told me that, you know, eventually it's going to cause liver failure, you're going to die, and you probably won't see past graduation. So basically what I did was I just lived my life, you know, tried to do the best I could. You know, we traveled a lot. We just, you know, and then I graduated, you know, and I was 21, and then it just continued to keep rolling over, and I kept breaking these milestones. And then I actually caught up. There's a program where people with the same medication all get together. It's like a conference. And I went to this conference. It's called the Olay Foundation. And I went in there and I found someone that was living on TPN for 55 years.
Holy cow.
So at that point, I started to get more hope that, you know, I can probably live a normal life. I could probably be on this for long periods of time. So,
yeah, that's hope, right? Because if the doctors are telling you one thing, and that's why I say you're such a fighter, because I feel like a lot of times in life, if you're told something, like a teacher might say, no, you're not cut out to be a nurse or a doctor, or maybe you should do this, or maybe you shouldn't play this sport. Sometimes I feel like as humans, if we're told something, we take it as, like, if you're telling me I can't do it, then I won't even bother pursuing it. Or, you know, I'll just give up. I won't put the time in, and I'll just say it's over, throw the towel in, kind of thing. But yet to have that hope of, like, man, I can have a full life, you know, I can have a life with a family and children. And, you know, that had to be like a sign.
Yeah, definitely a sign. And honestly, I always wanted children. I never really thought I would ever be able to. I never thought I would have a wife. I kind of lived my life like that. Like I had issues like just in relationships just because I never thought that I would live long and I never wanted to disappoint someone or hurt someone. And then I realized, you know, I could do this. And I met my awesome wife. Harley is her name. And since then, we have a family now. We have a little guy who's 17 months. He's my world. And then we also have one expecting to come, a little girl, in November.
Yeah, and shout out to Harley for being there and supporting. Because, again, you know, you have these people that you confide in. And what was the journey like after graduating high school?
My parents actually told me that they didn't really want me to go to school just because of the time thing. They never really thought that I would live a full life. They just wanted me to work at the diner and travel, and they would give me a good schedule. But I decided to go to nursing school anyway. And the reason I went to nursing school is because through the hospital, it wasn't the doctors that really made the difference. It was the nurses. You know, they came in, they helped me out, they got me out of bed, you know, they did different things for me, and they really, the nurses were the ones that really pushed me through. So I wanted to kind of give back. I wanted to help people. I always wanted to be a pediatric nurse, but then that just didn't work out. And now I'm a med-surg nurse. I've been working at WellSpan Good Samaritan Hospital for, I think, about 8 years now, just doing general med-surg, kind of getting a little bit of everything. So, and I love it.
You found your calling.
Yeah.
For nursing, I mean, you have to do so much schooling, I imagine, right?
Yeah, it took me, I have my bachelor's degree in nursing science. So it took me 4 years to get my degree.
And while you're going through your treatments and procedures and things, was there any nurse that you remember that you would want to shout out? Anybody that was maybe at Pittsburgh or New York or locally that you remember and was like, wow, they really, really left an impact?
Yeah, there was definitely a couple nurses. I do forget a couple of their names. I do know one nurse through my transplant. Her name was Robin. She was amazing. She just always had a happy smile. She would always come in, tell some jokes, you know, lighten me up. So I do remember her.
I find it very interesting, like what you just said, the nurses made it, I don't want to say enjoyable, what's a proper word?
Bearable, basically.
Bearable, yeah. Thank you, thank you, bearable. Because a lot of times I think everyone gives such high praise to the doctors because, look, they do the procedures and everything, but yet the nurses are kind of behind the scenes, male and female nurses, but yet they play a crucial role.
Yeah, they really do.
Without that experience, do you think you would have gotten into nursing?
I don't really think so. I think if I didn't go through what I went through, I probably would be working at the restaurant, just, you know, carrying on the family business. But because of what I went through, all the knowledge I have of everything, just with my experiences, it kind of gave me a head start and made me want to give back.
So you're a nurse at, you said WellSpan?
Yep.
Okay. Is that the, I'm sorry, I might have missed it, Good Sam?
Yep.
Oh, Good sweet. Sam. Okay. So, wow. So you're there now. When did you meet Harley?
So actually, I met Harley during COVID. They actually took me off my unit and I went to a different unit, and that's where she was working. We were both working night shift.
Oh, she's a nurse too?
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So, yeah.
That's where we met. We worked a lot of nights together, got to know each other, and then I asked her, we went to a corn maze together.
Awesome.
And then after that, the rest was kind of history.
History, okay, mm-hmm. Very cool. A corn maze, that's a great call. I mean, in the fall, it's beautiful weather, leaves are changing, mm-hmm. Cool. So, and you guys are both nurses. Again, small world, right? Small world.
Yeah.
What would you say are some life lessons that you have learned that you think could help or at least impact others?
First off, I don't think you should ever really take, I mean, you got to listen to your doctors, but in the end, you just have to live your life as well. There's plenty of things that I have done that they wouldn't have approved of, you know, swimming with a catheter, traveling, you know, overseas or anywhere like that. they definitely would not enjoy that.
Yeah.
But you got to live your life, you know. Everybody works and tries to wait till retirement, but honestly, you just never know the amount of time you have left. So you just have to live it to the best that you can. That's about the life lesson I've learned about through everything.
I got to ask, you went overseas. Where did you go?
Our favorite place to go is the Dominican Republic. My family's huge on traveling. I've been to Jamaica. I've been to St. Lucia. I've been to the Dominican. I actually went over to Europe, to Italy, Switzerland.
Wow.
We've been around.
Yeah. What was some of your favorite spots to go to?
I think the most beautiful country I visited was Switzerland. I did that in high school after I graduated. It was a school trip. My dad actually went with me, and the views are just amazing. The Alps are beautiful. It was just stunning.
Oh, I imagine. I've never been. I want New Zealand's top of the bucket list. Ireland is another one. Yeah, those would be two that I'd love to see. What would you say you're passionate about in life?
I'm passionate about my family, so I always say there's three things. I love my family. I love God. I'm very religious. And I love my friends. I think those are the three things that kind of push you through life. They're big support systems. You know, you can lean on them for a lot of different things.
Do you credit some of, that again, technically, based on what the doctors say, you know, you shouldn't have graduated high school, but yet here you are. So do you think that, again, the Lord and things had a hand in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's so many people that have prayed for me. I was in the newspaper. I had a lot of cards being sent to me. Just so much prayer. And I truly believe that, you know, God has a plan for everyone. He has a plan for me. It's why I'm still here, and I enjoy worshiping him and, you know, living my life. And people always say, how do you get through all this? How do you push through? And honestly, it's just, you know, one day I know, you know, I'm going to be going home to my Lord and Savior, and all the pain, all the surgeries, all the tubes, everything will just be gone, because he tells us that in the Bible. So that's a big motivation to keep pushing through.
To keep going, right. Yeah. And now with the family, that's just as strong, I imagine, to keep going.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to be there, like we were talking off air, to watch those milestones, you know, start walking, start talking.
There's nothing like being a dad. And honestly,
thank you. Yeah.
I've never wanted to live more than what I want to live now. And I've made a lot of different changes. I'm trying to be more healthy, you know. Not rebelling as much like I used to in my teens, because I want to see a future with my family.
And let's talk about fatherhood for a little bit, because it is so, it changes you completely, right? Like, it changes your life, but in the best of ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would not take back being a father. I think it's a, you know, an experience that, you know, every human that can definitely needs to experience being a father, because there's nothing like it. And I'm not saying it's not hard, you know, there's sleepless nights, they're into everything.
Yes.
But honestly, just the, you know, the hugging, the cuddling, the love, the kisses, it's just, there's nothing like it. It's, I would do anything for my child.
Oh yeah. Especially like you said, when you come home, dada, and they, you know, come up to hug you and everything, it's, it makes everything worth it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you might have had a hard day at work or just a long, long week or something. But I know for me, when I go home, it's like, it's all about the kids, and just they brighten you up. You know what I mean? You might be feeling down or whatever, but yeah, definitely it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely worth it for sure.
So Dalton, let's talk about the items you brought with you today. And then we'll do pictures at the end, and you can see the photos on Facebook and Instagram, on American Grown Podcast. But let's start wherever you want, or however you want to start.
So I brought three things with me today. One is a stethoscope, because I'm a nurse, you know, that's just a part of my equipment that I use. It's the best defense, you know, being able to listen and hear if there's things wrong. And then I brought two photos with me. I brought our Christmas photo of our family Harley, me, and Theo. And then I brought my...
Theo. Oh, I love that name. I love it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
but
that's
yeah.
okay.
That's
yeah.
a great name.
And then we got a wedding photo of me, my wife, and Theo as well. And then the last item I brought is a cross that says Jesus on it, just because I'm a religious man. Our family is very religious, and that also helps us continue through.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing these items in, by the way. And it is always interesting to see what people choose. I mean, I've had guests bring Bibles, their laptops, because they're DJs. I've had a gentleman bring like a chainsaw. It's so neat to see. Like when I ask guests, okay, please bring 2 to 3 items that, you know, best represent you or your career or your hobby or just your life. And it is always neat to see what people bring in. How can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
So I do have Facebook. That's about where I post, you know, all my life stuff, you know, traveling, what's going on in my life, things of that nature. So that would be about the only thing that they could follow me along with.
Perfect. I know you mentioned being nervous. You did a phenomenal job. I want to mention that because a lot of guests do come on and they're like, oh, I'm nervous. And I'm like, no, you'll do great. Just be yourself. And you did phenomenal. So yeah. And I just wanted you to know, and for other guests, like, look, if you're feeling like nervous about filling out the form or like, is Austin going to reach out to me? Like, do it. Just fill out the form, message me, because everyone has a story. I truly believe it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you don't do it, you'll never know. So like, why not take a leap of faith, take a chance, fill out the form, message me, and let's get you in on the podcast. Because again, I know you said you're reserved, very, very nervous, kind of keep yourself, but like, you did phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really don't tell my story. Some of my friends don't even know my full story. You know, I just don't share it. They know I'm sick. They know like the general gifts of it, but realistically, they don't understand it. You know,
yeah.
Just because I really don't go into detail with it. I don't really share it with too many people.
I appreciate you sharing it with me and my audience. So before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
I don't think so. I just wanted to talk about my family, even through all my hardship. I have a beautiful family. We are expecting a baby girl in November.
Do you have a name picked?
We do. We're going with Arya.
Arya, okay.
Yep, from like Game of Thrones. We really enjoyed that show,
you
too.
You like Game of Thrones? Awesome. Yeah, Dalton, that's great. Okay.
That's where we got the Arya name from. So.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So I got to ask you then, Harry Potter, Star Wars, you into that kind of stuff?
Yep, I'm into all the nerd stuff,
yes.
Man.
Okay.
All the fantasy, I'm totally into.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you having me on the show, and hopefully I can help someone, you know, motivate someone to continue pushing through my story. And if anybody has any questions or any issues, they can definitely reach out to me on Facebook. I'm very open.
Dalton Heisey, registered nurse on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Yep, thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.